Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show today with wonderful guests who are experts on the topic of today's show. So, you manage teams of people, either on-site or in a corporate setting. What is the best way to manage and interact with your staff to create the strongest, most loyal, and productive teams possible? With this in mind, our topic today is tribes, transparency, and truth. Remember where you came from. Joining me today is Kim Hurd, Senior Vice President of Operations for Sundance Property Management, and Melissa Joy, Vice President of Operations in the Southeast for Village Green. Welcome, ladies. I appreciate you calling in today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I know, Kim, you said that you are in the in Indianapolis area, and you're calling in from there. And Melissa, you're calling in from Cincinnati. So we're based in Houston, obviously, and it's not necessarily the a hop, skip, and a jump to get to us. So calling in was the way we could get you on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
So just to give our audience full disclosure. Recently, we had the National Apartment Association annual convention called Apartmentalize out in San Diego, and they had about 80 sessions going on, educational sessions for the attendees, and I tried to get to as many of them as I could. You two put on this Tribes, Transparency, and Truth, Remember Where You Came From session, and I had a conflicting session that I had to be in to cover for the show, and I was not able to hear yours, but it was such a fascinating topic that I immediately wanted to get you guys on and cover it for our listeners who are multifamily industry folks. So tell me a little bit about the session and then kind of take us through the presentation.
Sure. So this idea came to me because in my current role as senior VP, when I go out to do site visits, a lot of times I hear about corporate, with air quotes, corporate is coming, and we've got a corporate site visit, and people get a little worked up and stressed out about those corporate visits. And I wanted to address that level, regional and higher, of let's not make that experience be that way. Remember when you started as a leasing consultant or whatever position you started in, and how that felt when corporate people were coming to your property, and let's stay connected to that position we started in, where we came from. And how do we remind people, Melissa and I in this presentation, remind people of how that felt and how to stay connected so it doesn't feel that way.
Right.
So we created this Tribes, Transparency, and Truth as a message to regional level team members and higher about ways that they can really stay connected to their sites. Both of us oversee teams across multiple states, and that's a challenge. So we kind of did this from experiences that we've had and words of wisdom, lessons learned that we've had over the years, and kind of tying through those three, we came up with a fourth key of trust, which kind of weaves its way through all of the other three. So we started the presentation out with tribe, and we referenced Seth Godin's book called Tribes a lot for this this section of it. It got a lot of really valuable information in it. It's a really brief read. But he says in the book that a tribe is a group of people that are connected to one another, connected to a leader, and to an idea. So it's more than just a group of people. But what we really wanted to lead off with in this session is the most important asset in our business are the people. We're not in the apartment industry or the apartment business. We're in the people industry. And if we don't start out in our positions at corporate level and in executive positions, remembering the importance of our people, we're not going to be successful leaders.
Right. You referenced the book by Seth Godin, Tribes. I believe it's called Tribes, We Need You to Lead Us. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
And so
great read.
Yeah. So anybody who is listening who would like to get that book, you can contact me on the website and I can give you the exact title. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're fine. So in the book, Seth says that a group needs only two things to be a tribe, a shared interest and a way to communicate. And tribes aren't about stuff. They're about connection. So we talked about how do you stay connected with your tribe when they're across multiple states. And we made an entire list of ways that both of us have utilized. And I'd love to share some of those ideas because those were the key takeaways from this section.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about having employee birthdays and hire dates in your calendar. At an executive level, I send out on a daily basis just because of the number of employees I have. Happy birthday. Thank you for working here for so long. Emails or texts. It's also important to know for your tribe what their preferred method of communication is. I have people who love phone calls. I have people who love text messages. So knowing at that level how to communicate best with your team. But recognizing those things that matter. I just had an employee yesterday in accounting. It was his two-year hire anniversary, and I just saw it on my calendar and popped by and said, thank you for your 2 years. We really appreciate it. And he didn't even know it was his two-year anniversary. But he was so appreciative that I took the time to just take 30 seconds out of my day and recognize that. His whole face lit up. Those are the things we have to remember to do for our tribes.
Mm-hmm.
At our level, Melissa and I are often involved in owner visits when they come into town to do site visits. And I always make sure after an owner visit to send a follow-up praising what we did well. It's not the time to list off what we should have done differently or what we didn't do correctly. I keep it completely positive and recognize the time they put into that and how prepared they were. Because a lot of times we'll have owner visits, we come in, we leave, and they don't really know how it went on site.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that we communicate that information back. We talked about creating what I call a get-to-know-me page. So really easy form I created in Word with the employee's name and their birthday, and then some of their favorite things, their favorite beverage or their favorite sports team or their favorite hobby or favorite store to shop. Because I think it's really, really important when our on-site teams go above and beyond, they exceed expectations, they deliver great experiences for people, that we acknowledge that in a way that speaks to them. So if your favorite store's Target or Lowe's or something like that, I want to make sure and say thank you with the appropriate gift card to that. It's just something general that says to them, I didn't even take the time to know you. And the story that I tell in this section is that I get frequently, people will thank me for doing things or meeting with them or whatever with gift cards to Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And I don't drink coffee. I've never drank coffee. So the thank you loses something.
Right.
And we have to be aware of that at our level. If I send someone a thank you card with a gift card in it to a store that isn't even in their market, that just lost value in the thank you. So we talked about those get to know me pages. We talked about the importance of video. So if you've got, I've got a district manager in South Carolina that I rarely, if ever, see. So I FaceTime her instead of calling her. Those video connections, they just draw you closer and they allow people to feel more a part of the company, even when they're farther away. We talked about taking time to have lunch with employees and not just property managers, which is what we're used to doing.
Mm-hmm.
But those leasing consultants who had a great week or a maintenance tech who worked really hard that week or that month. We talked about acknowledging births in our families, as well as, unfortunately, when deaths occur in the families of our team members, too.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed the importance of just listening. So many times at our level, an executive level, we show up on site. We've got all the answers. We'll solve all your problems for you. But we don't take time to listen to their solutions or really listen to the problem. So we encourage the people that attended our session to really focus on listening to the team members and allowing them to solve the problem and then supporting that. We're providing alternative solutions, but not being so quick to solve everyone's problems for them. We discussed creating distribution groups and emails to more effectively communicate. So we've got distribution groups by region. We've got them by position. So a leasing consultant distribution group, a maintenance distribution group. So you can send more targeted communication to the specific groups that you're trying to communicate with. We talked about video updates. I know that I am starting this week to do video updates across my entire company so that the message is consistent. And we just get so many emails in today's age that, and the email about something we need to focus on just gets lost. So it's super easy with the technology we have now to shoot a quick, I would encourage 2 minute or less video with some reminders, maybe some successes. We just want to keep it positive as well and send that out as well. We talked about surveys. Super easy to do. Keep them short, 3 to 5 questions. There are lots of different methods and ways to do that. We use SurveyMonkey, but we've got one going out this week that just asks how we're doing. What do you like that we're doing? What do you wish we were doing differently? It's just a quick, easy way to get everyone's opinion, no matter what state they're in or how far away they are, to let them know that their voice matters and they count, and we want to hear from them. And it gives us great feedback at the corporate level on what we're doing well and what adjustments we need to make. So there were many, many more ideas that we shared. Melissa does a lot with group texting at her company, and we shared that as well. But those were just some of the key takeaways from that section on how you can stay connected.
Right.
No matter how far away your tribe is.
All right. We're up against a break. We need to go ahead and take a break. And Melissa, when we come back, I want you to jump back in and piggyback on what Kim was saying. We're going to be right back after this break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing tribes, transparency, and truth. Remember where you came from? I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is Kim Hurd, Senior Vice President of Operations for Sundance Property Management, and Melissa Joy, Vice President of Operations in the Southeast for Village Green. Before we jump back in, I just want to remind our listeners that if you'd like to provide a show topic, guest ideas, suggestions, or to listen to any archived episode of the Multifamily Matters radio show, you can go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Melissa, I wanted you to kind of jump back in on what Kim was saying last segment and take us through the transparency after that.
Sure. So Kim spent a lot of time talking about our people, because we are of the mindset that to be successful in this industry, your people are the most important asset that you have. And she said something pretty profound, that we are in the people business. We just happen to run apartments. And being in the people business is very serious business, and cultivating a successful and powerful tribe, it takes a lot of focus and dedication. It takes time, experiences, wins and losses. And an effective tribe is developed through building a very strong foundation of trust. How we do that at Village Green, and I think Kim can speak for her company and in the industry in general, is by really cultivating a culture of transparency. And so everybody knows what transparency means. It's being able to see through something. The business dictionary definition of transparency, I think, really drives it home for what we do in the apartment industry. And it's really just defined as the lack of a hidden agenda and conditions, along with the availability of all information that's required to collaborate, cooperate, and make good decisions. And so how this relates to leadership and what is transparent leadership, we found an article, a website really, peterstark.com, that talks a lot about transparent leadership. And ultimately, it says that transparent leaders consistently behave in a way that's predictable, so there are no surprises. And in property management, I think we all can say that there are very few days where we don't have surprises.
That's true.
interacting with your team and when you call your boss or your support, the surprise, that should be the least of your worries in their reaction. We've got enough things to deal with in the business of property management to keep us on our toes. I believe that when culture is defined and it's more importantly demonstrated, expectations are set, goals are measurable, and then there are resources provided to achieve those goals, and accountability is an absolute. Performance is the end result. Kim and I are primarily third-party service providers in the management business, right. And so our performance is very key to what we do and very key to our success as well as the success of our partners. So at Village Green, Diane Mataya, who is our CEO and my mentor, has a phrase that she has used forever. And I remember the first time I heard it, I was a little startled. And the phrase is open kimono. I remember the first time in her position, she had a meeting with the executive team and she talked about, we're going to be open kimono here with what's going on. And I was like, wow, that's a little scary. I don't know if I want to see everything and know everything that's going on. But then, you know, when you really think about how powerful that is, and what better way to get complete buy-in from your tribe than to empower them with the knowledge of what your objectives are? We talked about in the presentation last week at NAA, if you've ever watched a football team have a play that goes wrong. The receiver goes left, but the quarterback threw right, and everybody kind of looks confused for a minute. And they don't know what happened. It's impossible to score when your team doesn't know the play and understand the play.
Right.
So, you know, how do you become one of these transparent leaders and ultimately trusted by your team? Well, it's a journey, not a destination, that's for sure. Because if I've learned anything, that even if you're on the right track, if you just sit there, you're going to get run over. this PeterStark.com website that we referenced in the presentation has a really short and sweet transparent leader checklist. And it's meant to be, you know, I think rhetorical. Really having you reflect on, what kind of leader you are. And so quickly, what this leadership checklist asks is, number one, are you candid and honest? And do you genuinely express your thoughts and concerns? Does the message you're delivering remain the same regardless of who you're talking to? Simply, do you tell the truth? When you can't share information, because let's face it, in this business and handling the sensitive information that we sometimes do, when you can't be open kimono and be fully transparent about what's going on, do you still let your team know why? Do you consistently keep commitments? You know, Kim spoke at us being at an executive level, you know, it's very difficult for us to disconnect when you go on site and when you are with your team. And I have learned the very hard way that people are watching you, and if your phone is in your hand or you're not fully present when you're on site, that's really going to shut down the trust that they have in you. And so keeping commitments includes being responsive, showing up when you're supposed to, being fully present when you are there. Do you handle your own defeats well, owning them and not blaming other people? Do you ask good questions and listen? Kim spoke about listening and the fact that we at our level, having, you know, kind of worked our way through the property management ranks, we feel like we are problem solvers and that we can see the whole entire field from where we stand. And that is certainly not the case. So listening to your associates. Do you value the feedback of others and ask others, you know, how am I doing and how can I better support you? And the benefit of all of these things, of being a truly transparent leader, is that problems get solved faster. And again, if I've learned nothing in 20 plus years of property management experience, there is no shortage of problems to solve. So getting through problems quicker just will make you, better equipped for the next one. Your teams are built easier and are more cohesive when you are transparent. And probably most importantly, the benefit of being transparent is a higher level of performance. So the big takeaway for this section that I wanted to share is what exactly Village Green does and our commitment to this transparency culture. We have what we call a GO meeting, and GO stands for Grand Opening. And it was kind of built from the spirit of the daily lineup meeting from hotels. And every single day, on every single level, the expectation is that the leaders in our organization will have a GO meeting with their team. It's about, 10 or 15 minutes. I have about 17 folks on my team who get on a call across six states every single morning at 8:30 a.m., whether we're awake or not, whether kids are in the car, whether we're already where we're going for the day, and we get on the phone and we talk. We talk about what's going on, what's the temperature of our team. This morning, we shared some exciting news that we were awarded a new deal. Last week, we had, you know, some more difficult conversations about housekeeping items. We talked about team building. We talk about, you know, opportunities to build our bench. We talk about challenges in the field. Whatever is going on in our world, we talk. And the foundation of any relationship, certainly effective relationship, is communication. And what these GO meetings are doing for our organization is creating a dedicated time every single day, not every week, not every month, but every single day for us to communicate with one another, for our team to hear each other's voice, you know, for our team to really connect on a very human level and on a very real level about the things we are accountable for, and talk through it. And what we have found, my team very specifically, because we are so spread out, that it has really closed the gap and it's closed the burden of geography. My team now goes to one another more frequently when they need to problem solve. They are more open and honest about the challenges. Instead of trying to solve all the world's problems on their own, they're much more quick to go find the resource that will help them, you know, problem solve better. They ask for help more frequently than they ever have, which ultimately ends in better performance because we have a lot of talent. There are a lot of very talented people on our team, and when we put our brains together, we are truly unstoppable. So, you know, we talked a lot at the session last week just about the importance of communication and how communication is the problem, and it's also the answer.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And as you were talking about that, I can imagine that when you have all these people that are spread out and you have your calls every day, it becomes habit, and the communication that comes out of that becomes habit. And it also probably becomes less scary for them if they run across something that's not such great news to be able to bring that up and to deal with it in that environment.
That's exactly right. And it's not, you know, I don't like to look at it from the negative perspective that misery loves company, but I very much want our people to feel, you know, confidence in their decisions. And I want them to feel like they're safe and that, you know, mistakes are very rarely fatal in our industry, thank goodness. And when you know that someone else is struggling, it might look from afar. Just because your numbers are great doesn't mean that everything's great. And conversely, just because your numbers are bad, it doesn't mean that everything is bad. And so it's really, again, it's just bridge this gap that would otherwise exist simply for the fact of geography. And secondly, because in property management, again, we are so busy. In any given day, there are 100 things that need our immediate attention. And so, you know, it was a very difficult habit to create. I will not deny that. I had a few eye rolls when I suggested 8:30, because if you go any later than that, let's face it, your day is starting.
Right.
If you're on site at 9 o'clock, you're not going to be able to step away, you know, for 15 minutes and talk about whatever is going on. So it was a very, you know, very difficult habit to create. And to further, you know, expound on the transparency and the trust that I'm ultimately cultivating in our team, I don't take attendance on these meetings. At the beginning of the initiative, I said, I trust that you want to be on this call. I trust that you want to be part of what's going on. I trust that you want to know the temperature of our team. And if you can join, I fully expect that you will. And if you can't, that's great. Let me know. Call one of your, you know, teammates and find out what was going on,
right,
on the meeting, and if there's anything you need to know. And that in and of itself has created another layer of trust.
Well, it's all fascinating, and I think our listeners are getting a lot of great ideas from you, from what you did and what you're currently doing. We do need to take a quick break. We'll be back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. We are discussing Tribes, Transparency, and Truth. Remember where you came from. I'm Paul Marks, and I'm talking with Kim Hurd, Senior Vice President of Operations for Sundance Property Management, and Melissa Joy, Vice President of Operations in the Southeast for Village Green. I do want to take a quick moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and Ted W. Allen and Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So, Kim, during the break we were talking, and you said you wanted to talk a little bit about the topic of truth, but trust is where ultimately we're going to be going. So why don't you hit on the truth portion?
Right. So, in looking at being effective leaders and being as successful as we possibly can at our companies and with our teams, truth obviously needs to be a part of the conversation. But anytime we talk about truth, I think in our industry, people think about, well, she's talking about data or company information, and that can get a little touchy. Melissa addressed that earlier. But really at this level, what we're talking about is taking a look at ourselves and being truthful and honest with how we are as a leader. So we spent time in the session that we led talking about a Johari window model, which is a super easy online self, well, you can do it online, there are different ways you can do it, but it's a self-assessment. And we talked through the Johari window model kind of sorts characteristics into four boxes, an open self, a blind self, a hidden self, and an unknown self. And we were able to share with the group a very easy online website where you can do one in real time, send it out to your coworkers, people who supervise you, people you supervise, family, friends, spouse, anyone, and you can get real-time feedback on their perception of you. So we share one website. If you Google Johari window models, there's tons of information on it, and there are, you know, there are many other self-assessments that we can do as leaders to truly see where we need to be honest with ourselves and improve and make an effort, right, to improve on those areas that maybe we know are there, but we don't really want to own or face, right, for whatever reason. The website that we shared in the session is www.kevan.org/Johari. And let me spell that as well, just if you're not familiar with it. It's Johari.
And let me just let our listeners know, you can email me through our www.multifamilyradio.com website, and I can give you all these websites if you need to have them. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sure. And I, in open kimono style, as Melissa mentioned earlier, shared mine with the group on the screen as well. I can't talk about transparent leadership and not put mine out there for the world to see. But then we talked about what is the benefit to us. People always want to know, why should I do this? What's in it for me? So the benefits of being truthful as a leader, it strengthens your reputation. If my team knows I'm going to be honest with them, whether it's good or bad, sometimes they love that and sometimes they don't. But they know, hands down, I'm going to be honest with them. So it strengthens my reputation. It deepens the quality of the relationship, and it ultimately gives me a clear conscience. I don't have to worry about what story did I tell them or what did I make up? Melissa talked about sometimes we've got sensitive information that we can't share. I'm going to tell them that and I'm going to tell them why. But I don't have to worry about what did I say? I said the truth. And it sets a powerful example for the team. So one of the quotes that we shared with the group is what you want to ignite in others must first burn inside yourself. If I don't lead with truth, I can't expect truth from my team. And it's very important when we're spread across so many states, I need them to be honest with me and I need to be able to trust them. And this is kind of what evolved into our bonus tea, we were calling it, this topic of trust, because it just fed into each of the other topics that we were discussing, and it's become so critical. So I'd love to kind of toss it to Melissa now and let her talk a little bit about that bonus tea of trust.
Okay.
Sure. And, you know, I just want to add what I think is so important about the Johari window model that Kim mentioned is that, you know, to be an effective leader and to really cultivate trust in your team and your organization, you have to know yourself. And so knowing yourself and allowing yourself to seem human to your team really improves your level of trust with them. Our position gives us followers, but the trust that we get from our team is what makes us a leader. And so, you know, we've talked a lot about how do you become a great leader. We've all gone through leadership sessions in our career and, you know, attended some of those other NAA sessions last week on leadership. But how do you get trust from your team? Because you can't just dictate that someone should trust you. It takes a very calculated effort, and it takes, again, experiences. So how do you make yourself human to the team? You know, the ultimate goal is to build a highly functioning team. And in our presentation, we referenced a very familiar book, Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And while we didn't get into the book, just the overall principle that the absence of trust is the foundation of a dysfunctional team. So conversely, a foundation built on trust is going to lead to a highly functioning team. And I think the million-dollar question is, how do you create trust? It's not easy. There is a Forbes.com article about simple leadership conversation that we referenced, and this might be one of the most simple principles that we talked about, but it boils down to taking the time, again, much like the Go meetings that I referenced a little while ago, taking the time and committing to meeting with your team members one-on-one, not for a planned review, not your annual review, not, you know, necessarily some scheduled meeting, but in the moment, having these conversations with your team and asking three very simple questions. Number one, how are you doing? And then listening. Kim said, you know, we're problem solvers and we go on site and we can very clearly see. I am really good at seeing exactly what the picture is. That doesn't mean I know how it got to that point or what it's going to take to fix it. So letting someone tell me how they're doing and what they see, I think it's crucial to building the trust. Then asking them, what's in your way and how can I help remove that obstacle? Because again, it might be from your vantage point, you see an obstacle that isn't really the obstacle that's causing, you know, any kind of performance issue or concern with your team. And so letting them share with you what their biggest concern is. And then this last one has really, I've been practicing this since Kim and I have been working on our presentation for the session last week. I've spent time consciously working on this last question, asking my team, what else can I do for you? Or is there anything else you want me to know? And I could literally talk for another day about the examples of things I've learned just by letting someone tell me what they want to tell me. It is intimidating sometimes when you run across, you know, an executive level person in your organization. And again, the spirit of this entire presentation was not forgetting where you came from and what it's like to be on site. You know, I talked a lot at the presentation about if I knew then when I was on site back in, you know, 1995, being a leasing consultant, what I know now, I can't imagine the impact that I would have made. And there is nothing that I know now that our teams on site shouldn't know and shouldn't be privileged to as it relates to what our goals are, what the sensitivities are, and providing them any resource that they need to do their job. And so what I've learned is when I stop talking and I let my team tell me what they want to tell me, sometimes it doesn't organically come up in a conversation or come up organically during a property visit or a property walk, what is going on or what someone wants to share with you. But if you take a moment and you say, is there anything else I need to know or anything else you want me to know? It has been a very powerful experience. And again, just in the last couple of months, as I've cautiously or consciously rather asked that question to my team, it's been very inspiring what I have learned.
Well, you know, so, I was going to say that when you went through those three simple questions and you're asking for their perspective, many times we think we know what their perspective is, but a very wise person, a mentor of mine once told me, and I've carried this with me a long time, it doesn't matter what you think people think. It only matters what they really think. And
that's
how you find out with those questions.
Right. That's exactly right. And, you know, perception is not necessarily reality. And so I think that, you know, creating trust is much more about listening and then demonstrating resolve than it is about, you know, leaders having all of the answers. I thought for a very long time that as, you know, as my title changed and as I moved up the ranks, that I was going to be expected to have all of the answers. And what I have found out and how I have built a team of high trust is showing how very human I am. And collaborating instead of dictating has really been, again, a foundation of trust on my team. And I think that lends itself to performance. When people feel safe enough to make decisions in the moment, when they feel safe enough to express their own opinion and their own perspective on how things are going, it's amazing the kinds of things that can happen. And when you really think about how unique our industry is and how amazing our industry is and how intimately we are connected to our customers, being the residents, and our, you know, how high the stakes are with our clients and that customer base, you know, we're talking about multi-million dollar assets. We're talking about managing people's, quote, you know, managing people's lives. And so it's a very, very unique industry that I'm very proud to be a part of. And it really lends itself to a high level of trust on every level. And so if you don't have that with your associates who are your frontline interacting with the clients who are so, you know, dependent on your success and your performance and your residents who, you know, expect the utmost of service and deserve it, how are you going to be successful?
Right. Well, we could go on and on with this segment, but we've got to take a quick break. We will be back with our fourth and final segment in just a minute. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing tribes, transparency, and truth. Remember where you came from. I'm Paul Marks, and my guests are Kim Hurd, Senior Vice President of Operations for Sundance Property Management, and Melissa Joy, Vice President of Operations in the Southeast for Village Green. Kim, I know you wanted to get in on, we were talking about listening to your team and what you can get from that. Why don't you tell us what your thoughts were?
You know, so these simple leadership conversation questions that Melissa was talking about, I know that as we've been working on this session and making some changes ourselves, this last question, what else do you want me to know? Melissa had some great experiences with this question, helping her learn more than she maybe wanted to know in some situations. So there were a couple of very specific situations that you shared with me that I just would love for you, if you could pick one maybe, and share with the group on how making that little change, asking that quick question, kind of helped you in one of your leadership conversations with one of your team members.
Sure. Yeah, so I was having a performance issue, you know, timeliness of deliverables, responsiveness, things like that. So I was having an issue, and, you know, this particular associate had a lot going on in the portfolio, and, you know, I, in my problem-solving ways, was trying to figure out what exactly was it, and I'm asking all of these questions, and I'm going through the list of what it appeared to be to me, and I wasn't getting anywhere, and the ultimate you know, conversation was, I need your focus and attention. And I asked the question, you know, is there anything else going on? And the associate took a second and said, you know, listen, I don't really want to get into this too much. But they had a personal situation going on, a very intimate personal situation that involved their personal life. And, you know, I didn't need to know the details of it, but just to kind of know that something like that was going on gave me the, you know, understanding of why they weren't really on their game, because I couldn't figure it out. And it really helped me get about the business of problem solving, because now I wasn't trying to figure out the problem. I've identified the problem. Now, how can I add another layer of resource there? Or, you know, how can I offer up support from a company perspective even to help with that very personal situation?
Right.
And so that conversation would have never happened had I not stood down for a moment and then said, it would have never organically come up.
Right.
But asking the question, what else is going on? Because I knew something was going on. It was unusual.
So sometimes you get answers to questions that you don't necessarily really want, but
right.
if it affects what's going on within the portfolio, you need to know that.
Very much so. And again, we're in the people business, and we are managing relationships, and we are working very closely together. And so, you know, if you don't know your team intimately enough to know that when they're affected and something is going on in their life, then I would challenge you to build more trust and get closer to them, because you can very much, you know, read your team members. You have to depend on being able to read your team members. And in this instance, I was like, I'm very thankful that I had this, you know, article to draw on, because I would have never asked that question. I would have continued to keep going down the road of, you know, unturning stones that are, you know, quote unquote, normal everyday property management issues that are going on to try to solve the problem. And what I did in lieu of that was provide a resource of extra support, offer time off, you know, offer, we have an employee assistance program even. It was that severe of an issue. And so I was very thankful for that opportunity to help on a level that I wouldn't have otherwise known was a problem without that question.
Okay, great. Well, we've got about 4.5 to 5 minutes left before we start to wind down the segment. And I know we wanted to talk about team building. So,
So, you know, one of the things that I was very proud to talk about was some very effective team building ideas that Kim and I shared, you know, kind of went through and made a list of things that our companies have done in the past. You know, to build trust, it's much easier said than done. And it does take that committed time with one another, and it takes personal interaction. You know, we shared a quote that I wanted to share here. It says, you don't inspire your team by showing them how amazing you are. You inspire them by showing them how amazing they are. And so whether team building is celebrating a success, or I know yesterday I saw on social media, Kim, your team had an outing at a Reds game, which looked like a ton of fun.
We did. Reds won.
Yay. Even better. but, you know, doing events like that where you get together and you can sort of, you know, take off the heavy load of what we do every day and really just enjoy one another and get to know what's going on in one another's lives and have fun. We put together a list of some things that have been very effective team building, some things that cost money and some things that don't. And so, you know, one of the things that Village Green does is we are very supportive of the Ronald McDonald House, and we have an annual charity event to support that. But on a regional level, every couple of quarters, we will get together as a team and go to the Ronald McDonald House and volunteer to clean rooms. We've done gardening for them. We've cooked meals for them, played with some of the kids in the family who are families who are at the house. And the Ronald McDonald House is always looking for support like that. We've done some mission work where we've gone to a homeless shelter and done the cleaning and organizing of some of their pantries and their rooms. We've done potluck lunches where everybody just brings in a dish all to Monday, and it kind of becomes part of our staff meeting. For those people who are uber competitive, of one of the funnest team building events that I've been part of is a chili cook-off. You wouldn't believe how many ways there are to make chili and how competitive people get. So that was a really fun team building exercise. You know, we do random happy hours from time to time. When I was with child, our happy hour happened to be an ice cream sundae bar, and it was very fun. And everybody really got a kick out of that.
Right.
We've done scavenger hunts, you know, as Kim's company did yesterday with, you know, a big event. Going to a sporting event or a theme park has been fun. We've had pet costume contests. Our company has a Take Your Dog to Work Day, which is coming up very soon. And so people really get into their pets and kind of getting to see the personality that your team members have by sharing what's really important to them. We've done Biggest Loser contests. We go to apartment association events together, which is a really great way to team build. And we've had top golf events. And then I think one of my favorite things to do is include each other's family. And so someone who works on my team in the Cincinnati area, her family owns a small little lake, and every year they invite our team for a summer event to go there, and we bring our families, our you know, kids, our pets, and some of them have campers, and we just spend the night, or you know, a few of them stay longer than one night, and just really get together. When you think about how much time you spend with your work family as compared to your family, it, you know, there's not a big divide, really. And so spending time together and really creating the relationship has been very important to just building the high level of trust that I think it takes to create an ultimately performing team, consistently performing team.
Well, and I have one question, Kim, that I wanted to ask you, and we've got about a little bit over a minute to answer before we get into winding down the segment. But all of this is fascinating. It's amazing. There's a lot of great takeaways. But have you noticed a difference? I would think you would, in your employee turnover.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people want to work at a company where they know their voice matters and where they feel appreciated and they trust the people they work for. And I'd love to tell you that that's the overwhelming majority of companies and leaders and supervisors. It's not.
Right.
So it absolutely changes. It transforms the culture of the company. It impacts employee turnover. It just affects performance at all levels in a positive way, obviously.
Yeah, and I that's one of the big topics that I hear discussed a lot is, you know, what can you do about employee turnover? And I think what you did, you put together, both of you put together in your presentation, certainly can affect that in a positive way. So I want to take let you each take a minute or so to talk a little bit about yourselves, how you got into the business, how you got to where you are, and also about your company and how someone could reach you if they had any questions. So Kim, you want to start?
So I started in a leasing position role back in the 90s. I'm not as open kimono on that as Melissa is with the year, but in the same time frame, and fell into it accidentally. So this was not a plan for me, nor did I know that this was even an option. But I fell into it, and as people say about our industry, you either love it or don't,
right.
And I love it. So moved through the traditional ranks of leasing consultant, leasing director, assistant manager, property manager, and ultimately got into marketing and training roles and spent probably 10 years in a training and development, professional development role at a large management company that had approximately 20,000 units. I love people. I love seeing them get it when the light bulb comes on. So even at my level now in operations and leading operations for Sundance, we cover 5,000 units. In four states, we're in Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, and South Carolina currently, and looking to grow. You will still find me at my site going over financial reports or talking about a better way they could have handled that conversation. My success in this industry, I feel, is due solely to the fact that I focus on the people. Everything else works out. If I've trained my people, if they can come to me, be honest, tell me what's wrong, and I can handle that with them, and they can learn from it and grow, it absolutely has impacted my career at every level, And I love this. I love what I do. I love the industry. I love my tribe.
That's great. That's great. Melissa, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I got into the business accidentally also. I find that many people that I talk to kind of fell into the opportunity, but I was a high school student looking for the opportunity to do, I had to write a paper over spring break my junior year in high school, and my aunt worked in the business, and I said, hey, can I come to work with you? They had me filing, delivering notices, making copies. I ended up having the opportunity to come be their, quote, Saturday girl when they had to start opening the offices on the Saturday, and that turned into a part-time opportunity, which turned in to an opportunity for me to work my way through college while I was doing it. And I just kept having opportunity after opportunity. And, you know, same as Kim, I literally fell in love with what I do. And the people are why from every single aspect. I met a resident once who had to move to an apartment community because her husband had terminal cancer. And it kind of, it reset me as a human being because I thought I had a moment where I wasn't sure that I was doing the right thing. I didn't know if I was making a difference, and that was very much bothering me. And when I met this resident and my entire team came together to make this, you know, last year of her husband's life manageable for her by taking out the trash for her, picking up her rent check, and just listening when she came to the office and wanted to talk, I thought, there is really something to this. Like, I have the ability to really impact people's life. What's more important than where you live? And so that changed me. And through the opportunities to, you know, kind of grow and move on and take on different roles, including the leadership and development of a team of people, it has really become my life and a very much a passion for making a difference in people's lives. And so, you know, I've worked for Village Green for, it was 18 years this past April. I'm extremely loyal and dedicated to this company. They've been very good to me and very good to my team. And so I think that, you know, to Kim's point, we came together so naturally on this presentation because we are 100% about our people. Apartments are on every corner of every street and every state in this country, and the difference between those apartments might be the color of appliances, it might be the finishes in the unit, but it really boils down to the people who are providing the service to your customers and to your clients, and that's where I think I have been fortunate enough to have the experience and have a talent for really fostering a team that provides service that people want to be a part of.
Well, I've said this word several times. It's very fascinating. And by the way, your stories are not uncommon as far as how you got to where you are. I hear that all the time in the industry. It was unexpected. They had no idea. And now they're, you know, running different teams in multiple states. It's a wonderful industry for people who really want to work with people. Thanks so much for being on the show today with me. I appreciate you making the time. We do have to say goodbye for today, but we will be back next Friday at 10 a.m. with another great topic and power panel. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.